Hear me okay in the back? Is it good back there? All right. So in today's session, I'm going to teach you all about how to enhance the reach and accessibility for all kinds of different mobile devices into SharePoint 2013 data and websites. Just a little bit about me before we get going. My name is Todd Baginski. I'm the Vice President of Canvas Consulting. I head up our SharePoint and Mobility Solutions divisions. I'm a 7-time SharePoint MVP. I also participate in the Microsoft MCM program, where I author and instruct the BCS portion of that SharePoint certification. There's all kinds of contact information here that you can reach out to me from if you'd like to follow up on this session or learn more about something that I discussed today. Usually, I'm doing developer sessions because really at heart, I'm like a developer and an architect. So doing an IT pro session for me is something new, and it was kind of hard for me to go, oh, I'm not going to show a bunch of code. How do I go about this? So what I did to learn all these things is I basically dev'd it out to the nth degree, and then I made it work and got lots of great examples. And I've distilled it to the point where I'm not going to kill you with code, hardly going to show any, just a line or two, but I'm really going to help teach you all the concepts that you can take to your developers and know about what you need to do and what you need to think about as you plan mobile solutions with SharePoint 2013. So there's a bunch of different things we're going to talk about today, and as I've rehearsed this so far, I've gone over 5 minutes each time, so I know what I'm pulling out now, but the point is it's a jam-packed session with lots of info, and here's what we're going to talk about. First, we're going to break down what all the different strategies are you can use in SharePoint 2013 to provide access to mobile devices to your SharePoint sites. After we understand what the options are, we're going to take a deeper dive into something called classic versus contemporary mobile views. These are out-of-the-box mobile views of SharePoint. I'll show you what you get with them and what they offer you. After that, we're going to talk about something called a responsive design and how you can use that to mobile-enable a SharePoint site, what it is, give you some examples of it as well. We're going to talk about this new thing called the mobile browser redirection and show you an example of that and what that is in SharePoint 2013. I'm going to give you a little taste of what you can do with business intelligence on mobile devices in the new version of SharePoint, as well as what the new Office mobile web apps give you and the capabilities that you can have to edit documents on mobile devices such as iPads, Androids, Windows phones, you name it. And then finally, I'm going to describe how push notifications work in your SharePoint site to help you understand how you can use those to push messages to your mobile devices to let you know that things have changed inside of SharePoint. So before we get started, I'd just like to see a little poll in here. Who uses an Android device? How about Windows Phone? And finally, who's got an iPad or an iPhone? Most split I've ever seen a crowd. It seems like one-third, one-third, one-third. Who's got more than one of those devices? There you go. So do I. I have a lot of them up here to show you today. So I'm going to be touching on all those different concepts today and showing you where Microsoft's made the investments and how they work on those different devices. So where we're going to start out is the different strategies you have for enabling mobile access to the SharePoint sites that you have. The first option is using the out-of-the-box mobile views that they give you to look at data on your SharePoint sites. We're going to dig in a couple examples in this in a bit. Your other option is to use something called a responsive design. I'm going to show you that as well. Third option you have, which you're probably going to spend the most time on today, is creating custom mobile views. In the event that the out-of-the-box mobile views or the responsive designs don't meet your needs for a mobile website, you can use custom mobile views using this new thing called device channels in SharePoint 2013. And I have a really good demo put together for you that shows you all about device channels, how they work, and how you plan them and use them in your SharePoint sites. There's also all kinds of different combinations you can use of device channels, responsive designs, and different things, depending on your scenario and how you wish to enable mobile access to your SharePoint site. Now, finally, something I'm not going to cover in here today that I've done in other sessions before, though, is how do you make an actual app that you deploy to, like, the Apple Store or the Google Marketplace or the Windows Phone Store that would talk into SharePoint as well. There are other sessions in the conference which they're going to be highlighting how to do this. The only thing is I want to point out is there's two flavors of a mobile app you may make for SharePoint. The first is called a native mobile app. And in a native mobile app, what you would be doing is you would be writing that application in the native language specific to the devices you're going to deploy it for. So for iPad, for example, or iPhone, you would be writing in native code in a language called Objective-C. But I promised I'm not showing any code because this isn't a dev session. But it's important to understand that the difference between a native app and a cross-device compatible app as you evaluate how you're going to implement a mobile strategy for your company. In a cross-device compatible app, you write it in HTML5 and JavaScript, and then you just wrap it in a web browser that is specific to each marketplace you deploy it to. So those are the two different options that you have for mobile apps. So let's start out and take just a look at a couple of these things. This is what the out-of-the-box mobile views look like in SharePoint 2013. I'm going to dive into them more in here in just a little bit. A responsive design would look something like this. Here I have a responsive design for a website, and it's showing in a web browser. But when that same exact site renders inside of a different device, perhaps a phone, the design will adapt and it will format the content in the menus appropriately so it makes sense for the form factor that the user is coming in with and using to get to that information. The same exact design can also be applied to a tablet, and it can be made such that when you're looking at it in landscape mode like this or portrait mode like that, the exact same set of code in CSS was used to do all four of those different layouts you just saw there. That's what a responsive design looks like. The other thing that you can do is you can create custom mobile views that I talked about using the new device channels in SharePoint. So here's my example site that I'm going with. I'm a big skier. It's my dream to own my own little company that sells skis and equipment and just ski all the time and close my store when it's snowing and open it back up on days when it's not. But I'm talking about SharePoint up here today, so we're going to stick to that. But this is my example. This is a SharePoint 2013 site that I created. It is a storefront for Todd's Powder Ski Outfitters Company, and this is what it would look like inside of the browser.
And this website was built with SharePoint 2013, and I'll be showing it throughout the session as we illustrate how device channels work in SharePoint 2013. The same website may also be viewed inside of a tablet device like you see right here. Notice the layout is much the same. However, if we bounce over to look at what the same website looks like inside of a phone device, we can see that the layout has been significantly changed and the navigation has as well. This is to accommodate the smaller form factor of the phone device and allow us to deliver functionality that really works tailored specific to that device so our users can easily navigate and work with the website. Now, all of this functionality that you're looking at right here was implemented with the device channel capabilities that SharePoint 2013 provides. Other ways that you can go about doing mobile integration is to go with mobile apps. And so whether you write your apps as a native mobile application, and by native I mean it would be in the language specific to the device you're writing the application for. An example would be, let's say that we're developing an application for the iPhone. In that scenario, we would write the code in a native mobile app to use the Objective-C and the iOS language that is specific to Apple devices. On the other hand, if we were working with Android, for instance, that's when we would be using Java to code against the Android OS, and so on and so forth for Windows phone devices or BlackBerry or what have you. Another way to go about creating mobile applications is to make them cross-device compatible. A cross-device compatible mobile application is one where you write one series of code, and that code base that you write is in HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript. Then you use products such as PhoneGap or other technologies out there that allow you to wrap that HTML5 website you've made that defines your mobile application and deploy it to the different types of devices that I've mentioned so far. Now, this section doesn't focus on mobile application development. However, there are other sessions here at the conference where you can learn more about mobile application development if that is the route you choose to go to mobile enable your SharePoint site. Now I'd like to draw your attention to a new feature in SharePoint 2013. And this new feature is called Mobile Browsing Redirection. Mobile Browsing Redirection allows you to go into your SharePoint site and activate a feature to turn it on. The feature is called Automatic Mobile Browsing Redirection. Pretty straightforward. Once you've turned on Automatic Mobile Browsing Redirection, what you can then do is then you can enable your site to give users the new contemporary view of your SharePoint site. And so when a user then would browse to your site, as you look in the flowchart I have here on the slide, if you've turned on the mobile browsing redirection feature, then SharePoint will redirect the user to the second decision point in our flow diagram here, and it will check to see if the browser on your device supports HTML5. If the browser does support HTML5 and it has been determined to be a mobile browser, then SharePoint will render the contemporary view, that new view of how to look at information inside of a SharePoint site. As you can see from the flow diagram, if you don't have this feature turned on, users with mobile devices will be redirected to the classic view. This is the original view that we've had in past versions of SharePoint that will allow us to see a mobile-enabled view for SharePoint. Now I have a demo here that demonstrates how mobile browsing redirection works. This demo I pre-recorded ahead of time because I didn't believe I would be able to get network connectivity straightened out between my mobile devices and my machine running up here on the podium. And that was indeed the case when I tried to set up today. So I'm going to go to my pre-recorded demo here to illustrate how mobile browsing redirection works. Here we have a SharePoint site. It's a regular Teams site. And if I open up the Windows Phone 7 emulator here and browse to that Teams site, before I've turned on mobile browsing redirection, you can see that I'm looking at the classic view in the Windows Phone emulator for this particular site. You notice that the different links in the side of the page there that come from the quick launch are part of the classic view with SharePoint. So now if I bounce into site settings and I activate the mobile browsing feature, we've got that turned on. And if I come back to my Windows Phone emulator now and I click on one of the links in the phone, I'm going to be redirected to the new contemporary view in SharePoint. As you can see, there's really no impact to your end users here. You just turn on the feature and voila, they have the ability to now navigate through the site and look at the different things in your SharePoint site from a very nice, easy to use interface here inside of our mobile phone. Here you can see I clicked on the business intelligence link to show that document library, and that shows all the different things inside of it. Okay, so moving along, now what we're going to do is break down the difference between the classic and the contemporary mobile views and give you a picture of what each one of those looks like so you can understand the differences and the improvements made to the contemporary mobile views in SharePoint 2013. Here we have a screen that shows us all of the different views at a glance. On the left side, we've got the good old classic view available there, which we saw at the earlier portion of the demo I just showed you. In the middle, we have the new contemporary mobile view. And on the right, we have what is called the PC view. You can access the PC view from the contemporary view. There's actually a menu item that'll allow you to get to the PC view. So what is the PC view? Well, the PC view is our ability to look at the SharePoint site just as it would be on a regular web browser running on a laptop or a desktop or any non-mobile device. The PC view may allow us to see some content that's not rendered in the classic or contemporary views because they trim it out, as you've seen in the demo I showed you. However, it does allow you to get around the site. It would require you to do a little more panning and scrolling and zooming with your fingers on the touchpad for your mobile device, but it is available there so that you're not limited on a mobile device and you do have the ability to see all the information on your SharePoint site. Now, this is a really good slide you can use for reference going forward. It really breaks down the differences between classic and contemporary view. As you can see in the bottom line in the table above, both the classic and the contemporary views are rendered for smartphone mobile browsers. The classic view works for browsers that don't support HTML5, but they do support an HTML web browser. Now, an interesting thing, and I think an important thing to note, is the second bullet point in the contemporary side of the table at the top of the slide. Safari version 4.0 or higher for iPhone 4 is supported here. So if you've got an iPhone, or if you've got an iPad, or if you're using an Android browser and you're accessing it with an HTML5 compatible browser from that particular phone operating system, you will be able to take advantage of contemporary view inside of SharePoint. There have been a number of improvements that have gone into the contemporary view. You know, I showed you what it looked like before, but I'm going to break them down now and give you an idea of what's changed here. The first thing is the improvements to navigation. What I have here on the slide that we're looking at, on the left screenshot, is a screenshot of looking at my home page for my intranet. And the right screenshot is looking at a team site, which is a sub-site of that particular intranet SharePoint site. You'll notice that if we just start going down the list here in our slide, first of all, we have a breadcrumb at the top of the page. That's where it says this page location is, and then underneath it, it shows you the breadcrumb associated with the site hierarchy and where you're at it in it right now. If I click on the intranet link, it's going to take me to the home page for the intranet. If I click on the team site link, it's going to take me to the home page for the team site, and it's in both cases, it'll be rendered in the contemporary view. Now, the top navigation and the quick launch navigation are also available here. We can see that these different items inside of the screenshots I have here running inside my Windows Phone 7 emulator illustrate that the items in the quick launch and the top nav are certainly available for you to pick here.
You also have the View All Site Contents link there. You don't see it on the left because I just haven't scrolled down to it, but it's available in there. And so when you click that, you get the good old View All Site Contents, so you can see things that are not listed in your navigation on your SharePoint site. They've also made improvements to how you interact with the site. Now, before, they had those tiny little links as we saw in the classic view. See, if you have big fingers like I do, you're trying to get the right one and you're clicking the wrong one constantly. Now they're all spread out, and whether you click on the icon or the text associated with a list or an item, it's very easy to select the one you're going after. You just tap it, you go right there. Now, you'll notice in this view on the right here, it's grayed out on the bottom. And the reason that happened is because I clicked the gear button in the top right. They call that the command button. It's basically kind of like how you dig in the site settings in SharePoint 2013. When you click it, it pulls up this other menu for you. You can see that's where I can get the site contents. I can sign in or sign out. And then there's the link to give feedback in here because I took this on the preview version of the product, which you won't see in RTM. You'll notice also on the left when I'm looking at the site contents page, there's a link to go to PC view. So if you're not finding what you're looking for, some of the content in the page is not being rendered in the mobile view, you can still get to it by clicking the switch to PC view and then paging and scrolling through the page on your mobile device. If you need to get back to the contemporary view, there's no button really that does that for you, but you can do it. You basically just go into site settings, and then you'll see what you see in the left in the bullet hand list, that little screenshot that I've got. It'll show you the link to the site as well as the link to the mobile site. If you click the mobile site URL, it's going to pop you back into contemporary mode, and then you can browse through your site very easily. They've also introduced some usability enhancements related to getting or paging through your data on a SharePoint page. I have a rip in the middle of this one because it was too long to fit on the page. But if you have more than 20 list items in a SharePoint list, it's automatically going to add the paging for you, as you can see at the bottom of the page. So you're not going scroll, 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 scroll forever trying to get down to item number 155 or something in your SharePoint list. So as you can see, there's lots of different enhancements they've done from an out-of-the-box point of view. If you don't mind, could you just hold on to your question and wait to the end? Because they like to get them all recorded on the mic, but make sure you keep a note of it. I'd be happy to answer it for you. I'm going to show you a short demo now of classic versus contemporary views as well. This is another one that, let me switch over here, that I have recorded ahead of time. And in this one, I'm going to show you how this looks on an iPad, on Windows Phone, as well as in the browser. So I put a screen ruler at the top to provide some context on how big these devices are and help drive home the point these really are different sized. So here I have my SharePoint site, and I made a Teams site underneath it. And I'm browsing through it and just showing all the different documents and how you have long lists of documents in a document library when you add the library part to a SharePoint page to show what's inside of it. So you can see I've got a lot of different things there, and it shows how they all look in my SharePoint site. Nothing really fancy going on at that point. So the next thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to introduce a new device. And now I'm going to look at that in classic view. And you can see it's not easy to navigate. That was the old look and feel there. But then what I can do is I can introduce by going into a site where mobile browsing redirection is enabled and show you this exact same site running in the mobile browsing redirection. As I mentioned before, notice the list of the documents from the Business Intelligence Document Library are very long on my homepage, but in mobile view, it truncates it down and only shows three for me, so it can show me more of the content there on the page. Then, as you saw when I clicked into it, now it shows me all the documents in there, and I can look at them and do whatever I need to do with those documents. So we're going to go and there's a little example of the paging as well that you'll see inside of this one down at the bottom because I've put more than 20 documents in it. And now I can go down to the next page. And you can see all the documents inside of there. So some nice out-of-the-box mobile enhancements here. The next piece of the puzzle, I'm going to fast forward this one a bit. Uh-oh. Let's get that taken care of right away. Is this power strip on under here? There we go. Maybe that was the emergency. Attention, your laptop is about to hibernate in the middle of a presentation. So, next thing I would like to bounce over to here in my video is showing you another device that we can enable and show our contemporary views for on SharePoint. Now here, you can see on the screen, I'm projecting my iPad into the demo that I've recorded. It's a little program called AirServer. It's like $14, allows you to see your iPad through your wireless network on your PC. And so here is what the contemporary view looks like inside of an iPad. As you can see, it's pretty much identical to how it looks inside of the mobile phone, but it really goes to show that this is supported not just in a Windows Phone emulator, but on a real iPad here as well, giving you that goodness of this experience to navigate through the mobile pieces inside of SharePoint. Okay, so the next thing that I would like to move on to now is we've seen the out-of-the-box experience, right? And how many people looking at that and going, that's nice, that's pretty good, I could use that. How many people are thinking, yeah, that's nice, but that's not what I was looking for? That's kind of where I'm at too, like, all right, that's nice, but if I'm building a real mobile solution for SharePoint, I probably want it to look exactly how my branding is, et cetera. So now we're going to enter into that realm and see how that is done. The first concept that I talked about is the responsive design concept. Now, the responsive design, as I mentioned before, uses HTML5 and CSS3 to basically measure the screen that's currently being, the page is being rendered on, and it's going to react to the measurement on the screen and it's going to change the CSS to format your content to fit your screen appropriately. Here's some examples of how that's done. This is promise. This is only code on this one and the other one, but my friends who do IT Pro sessions told me HTML and CSS is okay. So the first thing you'll do is you'll see that at media piece. This would be in my CSS style sheet. This allows me to query based on the things after the at media. I'm looking to see the screen has a max width of less than 600 pixels. And therefore, I'm going to set the style for my class, the width to be 600 at the max. Another thing that I could do is say, well, what if it's above 600 pixels? Then I could change it. And maybe here is in this example, I made my margin bigger. Here's an example more really specifically tailored to an iPhone. Here you can see the measurement that you use at the top of the CSS to determine am I running on an iPhone. If I am, set the width of the page to 480 pixels. Moving forward, the iPhone 4 is actually 640 pixels wide, and you can see the media query in your CSS to figure out and measure for that device is a little different. So they're all different, depending if you've got an Android, you know, a Windows phone. There's 50 types of Androids, probably more, you know, all different devices. You're going to need to figure out what are the devices I'm targeting my site to work on, and then write the queries appropriately and style your page as such. I've got a couple demos of responsive designs that I'd like to walk through here with you to show you how these look. The first one that I have is a very simple one. I spelled it wrong. There we go. So this is a very simple responsive design. In fact, the CSS for this responsive design is posted out on the internet. If you go Google SharePoint or you Bing it, whatever you want, go look up and look for SharePoint responsive design. This is one of the examples you'll find a blog on. And it's a very simple design, but it's very good for illustrating how these work. So here I'm looking at the responsive design in a web browser that's really wide. Now, if I wish to look at this from the resolution that I would see in a tablet, as you can see, as I start moving in here and getting to the size of what my tablet would be, it's going to change when it hits the resolution for my tablet. The page didn't reload or anything like that. The new design and those measurements in CSS are taking place every time this browser is resized. And then when it hits the magic width, it's going to apply the new design for this SharePoint site. And then you can see here, this is more tailored toward a tablet. But what about a phone? What if I'm getting smaller than that even? How would I handle that scenario? Well, let's click around and look at some of the other content. This is our top nav in SharePoint, and this is our quick launch. You can see as I get bigger with it, now it really makes and feels a little more like a SharePoint site with a top nav and a quick launch. But if we dive down into a page within it that has a little more content, and now we start going down to the size where we would actually be on a phone that's really thin, you can see all the text has been designed to just wrap underneath. And so now this one design can accommodate three different form factors for a mobile device. This works on SharePoint 2010. This works on SharePoint 2013 as well. Another thing that I'd like to show you about a responsive design is a demo that I have, a very short one that has been recorded here. And this is one that we've been working with a client on recently. This is a SharePoint 2010 site, but the exact same concepts apply in SharePoint 2013. On the right-hand side in the web browser, you can see what their site looks like when you go to it in a web browser. And their goal was to make a responsive design that also worked in the iPhone. They weren't worried about any other things. They just said, a ton of our students use iPhone. Let's make that one is the one we need to adapt our design to. And so now I'm going to load up the iPhone emulator. And you'll notice at the bottom of the screen here, I'm running on an Apple computer. You actually have to use an Apple machine to run the Apple development software and do your emulator there. So I'm going to go and click on and load that same website in the emulator there on the left-hand side. And here you can see we've changed the layout significantly. The links that were to the right of the Orange Coast College logo at the top are now the yellow links that I'm expanding and contracting within the iPhone emulator there on the left. But this is another example of just using CSS to measure the screen and then providing a different view there. So as you can see, many different ways to go about it. Another thing to consider as you go about your responsive design, I'll keep coming back to this, is before you go and make a mobile strategy, really do the research to figure out which devices you want to support. There's no sense coding for every form factor under the sun. Figure out which devices you want and then code toward it. As you saw in the end of the demo there, I was looking at it in my iPad and I was turning it from landscape to portrait mode. Well, the site fit just fine in both scenarios and was very easy to navigate. So there really was no reason to implement a responsive design to work with a tablet device form factor there. This is my favorite part of SharePoint 2013 mobility. I think this is really world class, to tell you the truth, as I've not just kicked the tires, but really dug down to the deepest level and built the example I'm about to show you on how these device channels work. Device channels in SharePoint 2010 are basically something you can go into site settings and set up as an owner for that SharePoint site. You can see in the screenshot here that I've created three device channels. It's very easy to make them. You click the new button, you fill in some information, you'll see that in a second, and you have a new channel. What the channels do is they map the devices that are accessing your SharePoint site to a channel that's going to render certain content targeted to that device. And so I have a bunch of details here on the left about how the difference is between an on-premises SharePoint environment and an Office 365 small business site right now. So as you guys can see, and ladies as well, in the small business site, I only get two device channels, and I can't create my own. I get one called the default device channel, which works for basically web browsers and a laptop or a desktop. Then I get the device channel called fallback mobile, which applies to every other device that is in their list of mobile devices that they've currently got on their O365 servers. So all mobile traffic would be redirected to that channel. On premises, you have much more flexibility. You can create up to 10 different device channels per site collection, and you can drop in up to 150 different devices into each channel. So it gives you a lot of flexibility to say, I'm targeting this device, I'm targeting that device. Very granular approach on how you can target your different content to your SharePoint sites there. Now, the way device channels work under the hood is anytime you make a request from any device on Earth to a web server, as part of that request in the header of data that goes to the web server is what's called the user agent string. The user agent is basically like a calling card that describes the web browser and the system you're coming from so that the web browser knows, oh, this is a Safari browser from an iPad, or, oh, this is the IE browser coming from Windows Phone 7, or this is just regular Internet Explorer coming from a desktop. So that user agent header is what you will put in when you create your device channels. This is the page you go to when you create a device channel from site settings, and you go into the device channel page I showed you before, click new channel, you get this page. I put the icon up here to signify this is the default channel out of the box. You'll notice in the device inclusion rules text box above the laptop icon I put on here, there's nothing. So this means that anything that is not captured by another device channel you set up is going to be rendered out of this channel. So here's the channel I made that you saw on the previous screen called tablet. In the device inclusion rules, I put in iPad, which means any iPad of any version, whether it's iPad, iPad 2, new iPad, etc., they all have iPad in their user agent. So anytime an iPad comes as a string, this iPad channel is what it's going to capture and render for. The next one, I just called this one mobile, and I'm using it to demonstrate you can group devices into a device channel as well. This particular device channel works with Windows Phone OS, iPhone, or Android anywhere in the user agent string. So anytime any browser from any version of a device with those three different types of technology lands on my SharePoint site, I'm going to send it to the mobile channel to render the content for it. Finally, you can make a catch-all mobile channel. So you can target it like I have here for different devices. You can get more specific and dial it into just iPad 2 versus iPad 3 or Windows Phone 7.5 versus Windows Phone 8. And at the very end, you can also put in that phrase you see there, the dollar fallback mobile user agents. You put that in your device inclusion rules and make a channel out of it. And it's going to say, any mobile device that I already haven't made a channel for, I want you to render out this content to work for it. So after you make your device channels, you need to create a mechanism to implement it on your pages in your SharePoint site so that SharePoint can react to the device channel and only show the content specific to the channel corresponding to the device that's currently accessing your site. To do that, you will go into what's called the Design Manager. And we saw a little bit of this in the keynote demo yesterday where they added that search box to the SharePoint site. You remember that? When they dug in there and they generated the code and then they put it in their HTML, refreshed the page, and bang, they had a search box. Device channels are just as easy to make. You come into the Design Manager, click the button I've highlighted at the top with the red box for the Device Channel panel. That's a little tongue twister, isn't it? And once you click that, it's going to fill out the bottom of the screen like you see here. The most important thing you're going to tell the properties of a device channel panel is, which channel do I apply to? In this case, I'm setting this one up to work with my mobile device channel, as you can see. And when I fill that data in there and I click the update button, it changes my code, as you can see on the left, to tie this particular device channel panel that I'm going to drop in my HTML to tie it to only render things I put inside of the panel to the mobile channel here. So it's kind of a wrapper, if you'll think about it like that way. It just sits in your page. It starts up here with the div. It ends down here with the div. And everything you put in between the div is only going to be rendered for that particular channel. So it's far from rocket science in terms of implementing this in your SharePoint site. Here's an example of how you can test the device channels without having to have emulators and a bunch of hardware and other things. The nice part is you can test them all from the web browser. So if I create a SharePoint site, like this one I'm going to show you here in just a bit, and I enter in the URL and I put that query string parameter, ?, device channel equals default, it shows me the default view of the device channel. If I would go to the web browser and enter in device channel equals tablet, it's going to render the tablet view. So on and so forth with the mobile view as well. Now, I wrapped different Chrome around these three here, but as you'll see in a bit, it shows up just like that in the web browser too and only renders the content specific to what you put in your query string. One important thing to point out about that I learned about as I went through this, as you're testing in the web browser and you're getting your CSS all set and you're dialing things in and lining them up and setting your margins all up, you can get it to look perfect in your web browser you're testing with and use this query string parameter to test, okay, default looks good, tablet looks good, mobile looks good, and then you actually go look at it in your mobile device and you see it renders a little different. To be expected, right? Because the mobile browser is a different browser than the desktop one you're looking with. So you'll find that as you test, you're going to see different results when you really get to your device, and then you'll have to have your device handy as you change your code and refresh on the device to make sure it looks right. I'm going to jump into a little demo now of device channel panels here and show you how these work. So this is the site I'm going to start with. This is a SharePoint 2013 site. I've branded it, as I said before, to be my dream ski shop that I own and sell all my equipment out of. And as you can see, it's got a custom look and feel apply. I've got some jQuery going on to give it a nice little banner at the top and cycle my content through. And this is what it looks like in the default device channel. Now, if I bounce over to this view of it, let's go right... I'll just leave it in the same web browser here. Let's come down here and look at this with the tablet view. Notice, Zoom it didn't turn on yet. There we go. I'm going to go back to my tablet view now, and you can see in the top, there's my device channel variable that says I am running on the tablet device channel. This device channel, as you'll notice, looks very similar to the other one that I was working with. However, if we dig down and we go from this full-blown screen view and we move down to the mobile view, and here you can see at the top of the page, there's the mobile device channel that I'm using to edit this or view this page. You can see that it's just going to show me the content that's rendered out in the mobile view as well. So it's very easy to test things there. So one thing that I want to point out about these particular device channels is the different controls that you wrap in your device channel panels are very smartly rendered by SharePoint when you edit your SharePoint pages. So if I'm editing my SharePoint page in my default view, and I'm looking at it in default view, I pop the page in edit mode, I'm only going to see the controls under the hood and the different pages, places where I can put in content specific to that channel. It's not going to confuse me and show me all the other pieces of content that are only shown on other device channels. If I pop over to the mobile view and edit it, same thing. It's not going to show me any of the content that belongs in the default channel, just the stuff in the mobile channel. So this is great for your content authors because they know they are editing the same view that they're looking at and they're not changing content somewhere else. So let's take a look at what that looks like. So if I jump into my default view here and I pop this, I'm going to dig down within the site and show you where I've already made some changes to content on a per channel specific basis. So if I jump down into my page where I have the goggles that I display and sell out of my site, here you can see in the header of my page, I have some content there that says this header is for the content in the default device channel right there. However, if I pop this guy over and I look at him inside of the tablet mode, here you can see at the top of the page, now I'm seeing the content for the tablet device channel right there. And I change the content at the top a little bit. If we take it one level deeper and go down to the mobile level or the mobile channel, here you can see the content at the top of the page is completely different. So I pop this page in edit mode from all three views. I changed the content and specifically tailored it to be different per mobile device. That's why I was saying before, I think this is really world-class technology we're working with related to mobile. I can target this down, as I said before, by making my device channels down to a specific browser running on a specific device, and then I can go into my channels and edit the content exactly as I want it for that device. It makes it very, very easy to really target your content to fit perfectly on any device that your users are coming in with. Some other things that I'd like to point out specific to the device channels, and I'm going to break these down here in the slides in a bit, but I want to demonstrate it first, is let's take a look at how I'm rendering content here. I showed how I was changing header content and doing that there, but there's other things that you can change on your look and feel as well. For example, if we take a look at this page running in the default channel here, you'll notice that under the description for each goggle, I have a price, a model number, as well as the color. Now, if I pop over and I look at the goggles here in the tablet mode, you'll notice here that I have the same exact content I'm showing. But if I bounce over to the content in the mobile view, you'll notice here I'm not bothering to show the model number. So this is an example of preserving your screen real estate as you move from one form factor of a device to the other and making calls on your content and saying, is this really important enough that I want to take up the room on my tiny mobile phone device and show this information there? So this is an example of how I've trimmed that out per device channel. And I'm going to show you how I trimmed this bit out just before and how all these device channels work with all your rendering under the hood now. The first thing you need to consider as you go and you create device channels after you've made them and you've decided which devices you're going to target is you need to think about three things. You need to think about, okay, how am I going to use master pages and correlate them into device channels to render my content different? How am I going to use page layouts within SharePoint and what do I have to do to them to make my content fit on the screens? And third, what am I going to use in the item templates that things like the content by search web part apply to every single item that comes back inside of them and they render? So there's three levels we're working at: master page, page layout, and item template. At the master page level, as you can see here in this page and site settings, I can tie a specific master page to a specific device channel. So to get the look and feel that I showed you, where I had the tablet, the default, and the mobile device all rendering completely different, similar, but very different depending on the device to fit it all, I created three master pages. Inside of my master page, I did CSS overrides and other things like that, and set my CSS accordingly to format the page specific to the channel it was associated with. One other thing you can do when you select the dropdown is you can tell a channel that you wish it to follow the master page settings for a different device channel. So if I was going to roll out default channel, tablet channel, and mobile channel, and I decided on my initial rollout that the tablet and the default view would look exactly the same, I could select underneath the tablet dropdown, follow default channel, and it would use the same one there. If I made a change then to the default channel's master page, the tablet channel would pick it up. Maybe down the road I decide, hey, it's time to change and really make a specific design for tablets now. Then I could come back to this page, tie it to my channel master page specific to my tablet channel, and move forward like that. Now, planning your page layouts takes a little bit more care than it does with your device channel. Your page layouts are not really set specific to the device channel with that kind of menu we saw before. The page layouts are going to need to have other techniques baked into them, which I'm about to show you on the successive slides here, that allow them to adapt and render the content based on the channel that you're working in. Basically, the easiest way to think about that is at the master page level, you're not really probably going to use device channels much. You're going to use CSS to change what the Chrome looks like depending on the size of the device. When you dig down into the page layout level, now you're going to start using device channel panels to hide and show stuff, but keep that same basic layout of your page intact. Now, I talked about the three levels: master page, page layout, display templates. Inside of your display template level, this is where you're really going to be using content by search. Previously, we used the content by query web part to do the same thing. But the display templates basically define what does each result look like as it's rendered in a content by search web part. An example is going back to the screenshot I had before of many different goggles on the page. That was a content by search web part. I edited the display template for it separately in my mobile channel versus my tablet and default channel. And I used different device channel, or I'd use different settings inside the item template to merely hide that model number. You've got three options, basically, on how you can attack this from a planning perspective and an architectural and implementation approach to do your mobile work with SharePoint. The first option is pretty much, there's a lot of bullet points that's supported on the left here, but it's very well explained by the diagram on the right. I have a single SharePoint page. Inside it, I have default channel content inside of the device channel panel associated with the default channel. In the bottom, this white section is the mobile channel device panel. So depending on which channel I come into, either that top part of the page is going to get rendered nice and wide for the default, or on the bottom, the mobile channel will render it. And inside of it, you'll notice I have a content by search web part in both spots. In each spot, I'm using a different display template. The one at the bottom is tailored toward mobile devices. The one at the top is tailored toward the default channel. This is your best performing option to use, because by wrapping things in the device channel, since they execute on the server, when the request is served up from the server, it's only going to send the HTML specific to the device that accessed it. So it's not like a responsive design where all the data goes to the device and then CSS is used to hide or reformat data. In the example with CSS, if you want that to be very performant and you have tons of images on your site and thing, a responsive design might not be the best approach for you. However, this is a great approach in every scenario because you can get very granular with it and target every little bit of your site to just render the code specific to the device accessing it. The downside to this approach, there's more code you're writing, there's more code to maintain. So it's going to take a little longer to develop this up front, and it's going to take longer to tweak it down the road because you have more templates and more things to consider as you change your look and feel. Option two that we have, this would be when you want to style your content differently. And really, this is great when your content is not changing significantly between devices. So the example I showed before, where I was just pulling out one piece of information about my product and saying I don't want the model number on this one versus that one, that's just styling things differently. The text associated with four products on the page and eight characters for a model number, not a lot of additional page payload. So you could go with this option and write a little less code instead. This option would be using no device channel panels, a single content by search web part on the page, or more, if you have more than one region you want to use content by search for, as well as a single display template instead of multiple contents by search web parts, each with their own display template. In this scenario, I'm going to use my master page to drive the CSS that my device channels use, and then they're rendered. It looks like this if you break it down from a visual perspective. As you can see on the left side of the page here, this would be, on the top left, my default channel's master page. I'm setting a style called My Style, and I'm saying that the width of what it is applied to is 960 pixels wide. Then, in the page rendered in the default channel, I'm using the same content by search web part. I'm not targeting that inside a device channel panel anywhere. I'm just using one of them on the page. I'm using a single display template, and in my display template, I assign that my style to a div. And so it's going to pick up the style from the master page, because remember before, I could assign a master page to a channel. And so since the CSS that this master page is loading says 960 pixels wide, it automatically picks it up and it does that type of look and feel. On the other hand, when you come to the mobile page, well, I don't want my mobile page to be 960 pixels wide. I want it to be 320. Notice I'm using the same name for the class and the same display template at the bottom. So by just going into site settings and hooking the different master pages to the different device channels, because they load different CSS but with the same class names, now I can format the information with this approach as well. We have a third approach, which is different from the other two in one dramatic way. It's a client-side approach. Instead of telling the server to make and having the server affect changes by loading different master pages and whatnot, what I'm doing here is I'm waiting till I get the information onto the client machine, and then I'm going to react to my device channel and tailor the UI accordingly. Here's the example that I pointed out before. I have my default channel on the left, I have my mobile channel on the right, and I chose to hide the text in one area. I did this on the client. The way that I went about doing this one was taking the step here with this PowerShell code at the top of the page. If you run this PowerShell code here and set this property with the really long name, publishing information control include effective device channel, say that three times fast, you set that to true inside of your SharePoint site's property bag with that PowerShell, what it then does is it gives you that property you see in the if line in my JavaScript code. This code was in the display template that rendered those goggles out on my SharePoint page. You can see I'm checking for two things in it. First, I say if line 3 is not empty, meaning line 3 was the third line that I showed there, my product number. If that line is not empty and I have a product number to show and I'm not running in the mobile channel, then show it. If I would switch that to say, and I'm running in the mobile channel instead of I'm not running in the mobile channel, then it would also appear in the mobile channel. So this is another approach you can take down at the item template level, reacting to the JavaScript variable, once you turn it on with the top, to render your content in your SharePoint sites. There are other ways you can try to mix and match these things together. And in my discussions with the engineering team, the three approaches that I just outlined with you are the way that you want to go with it. When you try to start mixing and matching or doing other different things in there, or thinking, I think I have a brilliant idea of how I can combine all these different approaches, it's not going to be as simple for you to support and to edit and to just make sense of and have clean code to maintain going down the road. The other thing to consider, I showed you three options, right? One option, if you pick option one to do one part of your SharePoint site, it doesn't mean that on the next page in your SharePoint site, option one is the best fit for you. So looking and considering the things that you can use for reference here that I put on in bullet points about, does this happen on the client? Does it happen on the server? Does it affect the payload that's going to my different devices? And how much of a payload is that? All those things are things to consider as you look at each piece of content on your SharePoint site and decide which one of these three approaches is the right way to use to really meet the goals for my users and how I want to display my data. Now, I've gone through my device channel demo already here for you, so I'm just going to move on to this. And we're going to move on to business intelligence now and Office mobile web applications. How many people are getting C-level folks at your organization to say, I want charts on my iPad? Yeah, I see that every time I ask that question. A lot of people, right? Or they want them on their Surface or their Slate, but they don't really, they want to sit on their couch at home, smoke their stogie, and look at how much money they're making, right? So we all need to figure out how to make that happen for them. So the BI story with SharePoint 2013 and how we go about that has been much improved. First of all, Microsoft's made some big investments into the performance point web parts, into how Excel services renders, as well as how SQL Server reporting services renders its content. Now, you can see here, anything iOS 5.0 Safari browser and above is completely supported, and you get a full fidelity view of all the information right there. You don't have to write a single line of code. Now, there's no way I could stand up performance point for a demo and bring that in here quickly enough to show all you, but I do have examples of Excel services and how you can see that. Is anyone familiar with, in SharePoint 2010, when you would look at Excel services, let's say you made a fancy 3D chart in Excel services, and you're looking at it in Excel on your desktop, and you're like, that looks awesome, right? And then you look at it in Excel services, and all of a sudden it became 2D. And all the variations and cool fading colors you had, and the chart you spent 35 minutes creating, doesn't look as good. That's gone away in SharePoint 2013. The exact way you see your chart, no matter which web browser you're looking at it, from a mobile point of view, is exactly how it's going to show up in the web browser. It's full fidelity now. So you have really snazzy-looking charts and graphs. The other thing that we have, in addition to the mobile BI enhancements, is just really working with Office documents in general. There's the Office web app server is now not just a service application in SharePoint that serves up your Office documents to through a web browser. Now, that has been moved out as a separate server. And you have to install it on a separate machine, a machine that's not running any other web browser product on it. It needs all of the web services and capabilities to itself. For my demo, I wanted to stand it up, and I already have a domain controller, and I have a SharePoint server, and I got 16 gigs of RAM on my laptop, and they're taking up like 12 and a half of it, which only leaves two or three left for my base OS. So I thought, I don't think I have enough room to make a whole new virtual machine to do this demo. I'll just install that on my domain controller, and that'll be cool. I know it's not supported, but I bet it'll work. No, it didn't work at all. And luckily, it's a very short setup, and I took a snapshot beforehand. Didn't cost me much time, but I learned a lesson I can share with you. When you're setting up a development environment or helping your developers do that, let them know they do need a separate machine to facilitate this functionality with SharePoint. Setting it up, though, is very easy to do. Essentially, you install your server, get it running with your base operating system, put in the CD or mount the ISO, however you like to do it, click on the setup button, walk through a very short two or three click wizard, and it installs everything on your server. When you're done with that, then you're going to run some PowerShell commands. There's only two or three of them. They're very well broken down on MSDN, which is basically going to set up an instance of the Office web app server. After you do that, you hop over to your SharePoint server and run a PowerShell command that basically says, hey, SharePoint server, there's my Office web app server. So when someone clicks on a document, go use this web app server to render it. It's very easy to do. I have a blog post about some intricacies associated with this, just because the MSDN documentation at this point doesn't really spell out perfectly clear which URLs you need to put in these PowerShell commands to do all this registration. So if you're about to go do that, just check my blog out, and I break it down there for you. One thing we just figured out a couple days ago was if you're running your SharePoint server and all your servers behind TMG, there's also a little extra configuration that you need to do. We run all of our environment behind a TMG server, and so as we were setting this up so I could do a demo over it on the internet, I found out it didn't work. And we were trying to figure out why, and then we figured out that basically TMG is going to go and it's going to block the URL encodings more than 2L levels deep. Well, when you're going from through the TMG server to the SharePoint server to the Office web app server, those URL encodings exceed 2 levels. You'll see this message at the bottom of the screen here. And you may think that that message right there is really what's going on. Oh, no, it's not. That is a total red herring. And what that red herring is telling you is go check out your TMG configuration. Because if you really go down and start looking at what this error means, it has nothing to do it's not a correlation at all. It's not the real problem. TMG is your problem if you see that error there. Has anybody else seen a fish flying around on a slide yet today? So what I'd like to show you now is a demonstration of the Office mobile web apps here and how these work inside of SharePoint 2013. There we go. So what I'm projecting up here right now, this is my iPad. I'm just hooked it right into the projector here so we can see what these look like on a different device. So the first thing that I have here is I have an Excel document. Not a real fancy one, but as you can see, I'm using some gradient colors here in the bottom. And if you tried to look at this Excel document in the last version of SharePoint, the colors would look nowhere like this. This is exactly how it looks when I created it. Some of the other things that you can do in Office mobile web applications are you can edit. I wonder if it timed out my session since I haven't touched it in a while. There we go. You can actually edit the documents right from your mobile devices. So I had this projector brought up today so I could do this on my Android and my Windows Phone 7 as well, but they're not participating well with the internet, although the iPad seems to be. So I'm just going to drive all the demos off this one. So here you can see now I've popped the document into edit mode, and it's very easy for me just to touch on things here, and now I gave it an underline, and now I can change the color of it, and that's saved. You don't even have to click save, just how these have worked in the past. One other nice thing that I like here is this little button in the top left corner. You can go start and undo your changes too. So it really gives you the ability to dig in and edit your documents, whether they're Excel, PowerPoint, or Word documents as well. As I mentioned, you get the nice looking charts and graphs here as well. So as fancy as you'd like to get with your different BI that you want to make, it makes it real easy to do it now, right? You can hop into Excel and make some really nice reports with data connections to the go to real-time data and quickly assemble BI information. And then now you get the full rendering and ability to edit it right here from Excel or Office mobile web applications as well. Now I'm going to jump back a couple pages here and take a look at some more of the documents in my document library here to show you some of the other features as well. It sure is nice without that alarm going off, isn't it? For example, if we dig into a Word document here, you can see it's loading up the Word web app now, and this is actually a demo script to how to run the demo I did in my session yesterday. And inside of here, you can see that it looks perfect. It's exactly like all kinds of different formatting and things applied to the page. Looks exactly how my Word doc looks. Some of the other nice things you can do inside of these apps now is you can go and click this button for the comments. Now I can see the comments right here in a tablet device. And when I click on a comment, what it's going to do is navigate me right to that spot in the document where that comment has been applied. You can edit the comments, reply to them, delete them, make new ones, just like you can in the desktop app now. So that's a lot of really nice functionality that we're seeing right on our tablets, right out of the box. In addition to that, let's show you some of the PowerPoint things that you can do. I'd just like to remind you again that whether you're using an iOS device, you know, iPad here, iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, it looks exactly the same in all of them. I've tested it with all those different devices. Here's the slide deck we're looking at right now. I'm just going to take my finger and just start swiping across. And as you can see, the animations and transitions as I go from slide to slide here are exactly like they are inside of my application, just like I would run it on my desktop. So we can go from one to the other, and I'd like to get to the next page to show you how the animations work just as well. Go ahead and click. The wireless has been a little bit slow for me up here today. There we go. Let's jump into a different one. So it went too many at once, I think, on me there. But as you can see, you can kind of see how it's fading in and things. And so the other animations I had before where I had different screenshots flying in and all that, basically a swipe of your finger, here we can go backwards on it here, you can see them disappear one at a time. So a swipe is just like a click. So you can definitely, you can see I could actually run this presentation right off of my tablet now, right out of the box with this new Office mobile web app technology. Could even do it right off of your tiny little phone if you wanted to do that as well. There's one last piece I want to cover before we wrap up here today. And that piece is talking about the push notifications that we have available to us to help notify us when things change inside of our SharePoint site. So here is an example, basically an overview of how push notifications work with SharePoint. The first thing you'll notice is in the box on the left of my SharePoint server, I have the push notifications feature. You've got to turn that on. I'll talk a little bit about that one in just a bit. Then you have the subscription store list. This is a hidden list inside of SharePoint. Even if you're a farm admin and you know the path to this list, you can't look at the contents in it. The only way to see the contents in this list would be to actually crack open your SharePoint database, find this table of data, and run a SQL query against it to pull that data out. So it's a very secure list. This list holds the identifiers specific to your phone devices or your tablet devices that you register with SharePoint to receive a notification. So it's basically where SharePoint goes to say, who wants to know about something when it's changed? In addition to that, then you're going to have some type of technology in SharePoint to actually listen for notifications or look for things have changed in order to tell people about them. And so two examples that come to mind right away are the event receiver. You know, when you put that on a SharePoint list and it says, hey, somebody uploaded something. I need to go run some code and do something. So inside of an event receiver, you can have your developers write the code to query the subscription store list and say, who's signed up? Who's signed up? Who wants to know when something has changed? Return that list of devices and then basically run the code to call out to the notification services Microsoft provides to send that notification out to that particular device. So basically, that would call the notification service, which in turn can call out to any type of device that you want. Notice I have the Windows slate, or pardon me, the Windows Surface, the iPad. I've got Windows Phone 7. I've got an iPhone. I've got an Android. You can call out to the push notification service for all of these different types of device vendors. They all have a notification service, which you can have your developers write code to call and send the notifications. So it is certainly possible to create a scenario where you're sending a notification like that to every single device that supports a notification. It's not one of those things where it just works on Windows Phone 7. I think as you've seen throughout the presentation here, this stuff works on everything, not just the Windows Phone. It really is cross-market compatible. Here are the things you'll need to do or have your developers do for you to enable the push mobile notifications. The first thing that they need to do is they need to activate the push notification feature. That's a line of PowerShell, as you can see there, and the feature is called Phone PN Subscriber, and then you pass in the URL to your SharePoint site. When you do that, it's going to make that hidden subscription store list for you. And then that stores the different devices, as I mentioned before, that are going to be notified from your SharePoint site. To actually implement them after you've turned the feature on, this is when you do have to write custom code. This is not a scenario where you're just going to be able to click through something like SharePoint Designer or another tool that writes all your code for you by just running through a wizard. You're actually going to have to do some development. Here's the high level of the development you need to do. The first thing you need to do is figure out a way to determine when a notification needs to be sent. As I said before, that could be an event receiver or a timer job or something like that. It's basically going to figure out when something's changed. Then what it's going to do is send the notifications. The next thing is you're going to have to write the code to call into the notification service or services specific to the devices that you want to send that notification to and send the, you know, the text or the images or the data associated with whatever you want to pop up on that device. Finally, you have to make a mobile application on your device to handle that notification and to pop it up and show it. When you make the mobile device applications as well, you need to take care to make sure that the application allows the device to register itself to SharePoint. So maybe you could have a little config screen in your app that talks to SharePoint and allows you to edit data from your iPad or something like that. You go to a config page and say enable notifications. And when you do, it goes into the cloud service, grabs an ID specific to your device, and then pumps it into the list in SharePoint. You also will need to provide the facility to remove yourself from that list. All of the major app marketplaces require you, when you publish a mobile application, if it's going to receive notifications, they require you to allow the user to opt in for the notification and to opt out. You've probably seen that before when you've installed applications on your phones and say, this application would like permission to send you a notification when something happens. That's what I'm talking about there. This is a great set of resources, really helped me figure a lot of this out and get to the point where I could build these demos and come up here and show you how it all works. Most of them are on MSDN and TechNet. I found out a few things along the way and put them on my blog, and so I've got them linked here so you can use them as references as you go forward as well. So I don't have the usual slide deck because it wasn't on this machine when I got in here today that says come and please submit in a review and the picture of you can do it on your phone or your browser, but I would appreciate it if you can do that. And I want to say thanks for sticking through that crazy alarm situation we had there before. I hope that you were able to hear me and maybe concentrate and grab some of that content that went out while the lights were flashing. If people have questions now, I'd be happy to take a few minutes and answer your questions. If you guys could just step up to the mic, I know that I'd like to get all the questions and answers recorded there as well. And if you're going to take off now that questions are happening, I was happy and honored to be the opening act for Bon Jovi tonight, so have a good time at the concert.
Hey, Todd. Great session.
Thanks.
I wanted to ask you about kind of classic mode versus, say, a touch mode.
Mm-hmm.
If you really wanted to use what you've kind of shown here and say the touch and all this has more of a touch interface.
Yeah.
But classic mode is like the site classic and is what you get with desktop, unless you opt in, kind of being able to switch device channels, being
yeah.
able to allow people to go to the touch interface or have kind of a classic interface. Any ideas how you might accomplish that?
Yeah, so I think that was right before you walked in. So essentially the way it works is when you come to the site, if you haven't enabled the automatic mobile browsing direction feature, you land in classic mode. If you turn the feature on and your browser supports HTML5 or up, it's going to put you in that contemporary, nice, touchy mode. If you want to go further from that and dive into what you'd see on the PC, there's a button that you can click in that contemporary view to toggle PC mode. And then you're browsing in there. And if you want to go back from PC mode, you go to site settings and you click the link in the top right to go to the mobile page, and it'll bounce you back into contemporary view.
Is there any audience integration by saying like certain departments should have this mode and certain departments should have this other mode? Is that something you build put on top of it?
I have not seen anything to do with audiences related to the mobile channel. But one thing you could do there is you could put in your audience targeting in and say, for the default channel, I'd like to use audience targeting perhaps. And then for a different channel, I don't want to use it by putting the things in the different device channel panels and go so on and so forth. But so, as far as I know, the audience targeting, if you're going to be logged in, it's going to work the same way.
Let me give you the scenario. I don't want HR ever seeing, let's say the HR doesn't want to see tiles. Can I make sure HR doesn't see tiles?
Doesn't see tiles?
Tiles. If they only want classic mode, how can I, is there a way to figure out how to not to allow them, unless they opt in, to not
see tiles? I'd say the only way I can think of to do that would be to make an HR site collection and then to turn off the automatic mobile browsing redirection there, and that would accomplish that.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Great session.
Thank you.
I have two quick questions. First about performance, so we're building a responsive site right now in 2010, and the master page was kind of scary for me because there's a bunch of code that comes along for the ride that is for authenticated users only, but it shows up in mobile browsers, and of course it's just gobs and gobs of code. So I solved that by sticking things into what are called anonymous authenticated templates and then logged in templates, so a lot of that. What about performance in the master page into 2013? Is there they taking a mobile first approach and not?
Yeah, very good question. So I know exactly what you're talking about because I learned the hard way on that one a few years ago myself. So you're referring to how all those JS files for the ribbon and everything get loaded for anonymous users even though they'll never use them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you write some code and you figure out how to make sure it doesn't get loaded if they're anonymous. In 2013, that's taken care of.
Nice.
Basically, it knows and loads on demand based on if you're anonymous or signed in and what you can do.
Uh-huh.
It only loads the appropriate content.
Beautiful.
So it's something you don't even have to consider going
right.
forward.
Very nice.
I haven't had a chance to fully test it, front to back on every single little thing.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that I've read says that that's how it works now.
Okay, cool. And then another quick question. So device channels, what I got was content. You know, show this content, don't show that content. What about layouts where I say, this layout never show column number 2 in mobile browsers, only show the main column. So rather than like, I think you know what I'm saying, customize the content on every page, just like every time someone makes a page from a layout, it does certain things based on device channels. Can you do that?
Yeah, you certainly can. What you would do is you just pop three device channels in the page if you have three channels.
Uh-huh.
And then inside each channel, you just put the HTML and all the other controls associated with what that channel should get. You can also do things that are shared. You know, you could put one page, device channel here, things in it, uh-huh. device channel here with things in it, and then right. you can put a bunch of things just in the page here that would show on both device channels because
right.
you don't wrap them in a channel panel.
But that's in the page. What about the layout?
It works the same, way in the page layout.
Okay, cool.
And also it works the same way down into the item template by using the JavaScript approach.
Yeah. I had another question about that, but I'll look that up online. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming.
You showed us the out-of-box document experience in the mobile for 2013.
Uh-huh.
And you showed us the all documents view.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering how it would look if you had custom views. Does it do any accommodation for that, or is this just the all documents view that's going to render in that special format?
Gotcha. So you're talking about the contemporary view that I showed
yes.
right off the bat? It's going to break it down. If you have it filtered to just say show these items, it's going to show them there. But in the testing that I did, and I haven't tried it on the RTM yet, I just didn't have enough time to change it between last week and today. But I did make a couple views in the beta that were, you know, sorted and grouped and things like that, and expand and collapse. I didn't see that show up in the view, but it showed the list items in the same order that they were rendered. It might have changed in RTM, though. A lot of little things did, so it'd be worth just testing it out. The easiest way to test it out is just go sign up for an O365 site, and then when you get to your site, turn on automatic mobile browsing redirection and go to it from your phone. And you can sign up for a free trial for that in a couple minutes, so it's a real easy one to prove out.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, great session. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I wanted to know about, I saw one tag you said that you could fall everything under that tag if the browser is not supported.
Yeah.
How does it render older clients as well if someone is having old phone and the Safari, like old Safari browsers to iPhone 3 or other options that are there? How would it handle in those situations?
Just let me make sure, a little bit quiet. Let me make sure I understand your question. So if you're not in fallback mobile channel and your device doesn't fit into that list of devices, what
happens?
And
maybe it doesn't support HTML5 either. So.
Yeah. So if it's not going to support HTML5, it's going to drop it into it's going to use Classic View.
Classic.
For sure. And if it doesn't know which channel it's going to go into, it's not listed in the fallback mobile channel, then it's going to land in default. Because default is basically, if I'm not specifically listed or handled by fallback mobile, then I'm going to default.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Todd. Quick question about master page layout. Everything you show us can be deployed at the site collection level or the web level, or how does this work exactly?
When I set up the master page mapping?
Yeah.
That happens at the site level.
Okay.
So anywhere you can set the master page, you can do that. And it still has the button for the push it down to the sub-site thing. So you can set it at one level and set it different at another as well.
Okay, so if I have, site collection and subweb, and if I have a specific subweb where I have a unique page there, a master page,
yep.
I could also deploy at the web level for that?
Sure thing.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. All right, that looks like it. You have a question too? I have to ask you to hit the mic. Thanks.
So, okay. Thanks for the session. I really
You're welcome.
Liked it. And so, this is not a question actually. So, when we were seeing the demo, so it seems like the content search web part is the key to, you know, all these things.
It depends what you're doing. If you just wanted to show like the header content like I had in the pages.
Because you were talking
those
about
those were just
the
fields in the page, like rich text controls.
Okay.
But if you want to display data that comes from a SharePoint list where you're running a query to say, give me the data that fits this criteria, content by search web part is the way to do that now.
Because, why I was confused, because you were also showing the display templates. That comes only when we are talking about content search web part, right?
Can you repeat that, please?
You were talking about display templates.
Display templates.
Display templates is comes into picture only when we are talking about content by search web part, right?
Content by search web parts use display templates to format their output.
Yeah.
So in the old version of SharePoint, are you familiar with 2010?
Content query, yeah.
So you know how you take the XSL and you change that to make the different content by query display? Now a display template is HTML and JavaScript. And so you actually upload those to the display templates directory under in the master pages gallery, I remember.
Yeah.
And then you'll edit them there. And then when you put your content by search web part in edit mode, you just pick the drop down on which display template you want. And then you go from there, and that's how it renders it. So in the display template, because that is a client side thing and not a server side rendering, that's how display templates work. That's when you would use that effective device channel JavaScript variable to determine which channel you're in and render accordingly.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
When we were doing that session, so when we were talking about the display templates, and there used to be a by default SharePoint creates a .js file. But they were saying that you are not allowed to change it. So how we can do, you know, this JavaScript coding which you are talking about?
To edit the display template, you go into the HTML file that makes up the display template. And inside of that, you can use that delimiter I had on that slide. I can't even remember what it is. I think it's like less than dash dash exclamation, or it's underscore maybe. It's a little different than the typical way we comment code. You use that delimiter, just like you did in good old ASP, to basically call out, okay, now I'm going to put in JavaScript. And then you write your JavaScript within those delimiters. And then when you save the page, SharePoint transforms that into the JS file. So you never have to edit the JS file.
Okay. So you mean to say we will keep all the JavaScript code in the HTML itself?
Yes, you're writing the JavaScript and embedding it directly in the HTML file within those delimiters.
Okay, and the feature which you activated, was that feature at a site collection level or maybe at a web application level?
The automatic web browser?
Yeah.
That one is at the site level. And for certain sites, it is turned on by default. I can't remember what they are right now, but some sites have it turned on automatically, some don't. But you turn it on at the site level.
Okay, and how do you think? What do you think about the mobility support for the publishing sites? You know, the page layouts, maybe a wiki site, or
So the device channels only work in publishing sites. I believe that was up on the slide at one point. I know I forgot to mention it, but device channels only work with the publishing site template.
All the
other views work with the contemporary mobile classic. Those work with any site template.
So that means this device channel won't work with the team sites and all?
That means what?
These device channels won't work with the team sites?
And O13 sites?
Team sites.
Team sites.
Yeah.
Correct. They only work with the publishing site template.
Okay, so again, there is a question. So we can create any team site as a publishing site by publishing by activating the publishing infrastructure feature. So if there is a team site and I activate all those features, so this channel thing will work there?
It's a great question. I haven't tried that one yet. I would have to try that out. I don't know for sure.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. You have a question too, sir? Please? Oh, all right. Right on. I guess we're wrapped up. I think you guys can kill the mic and all that good stuff. Thanks for